So all of you probably heard about the Viking explorer Erik the Red, right? You know, he's from Iceland, he discovered Greenland. Well, Erik the Red had a little known twin brother by the name of Rudolf. So, in fact, they looked so much alike that the two of them even had the same nickname. So, the sea captain Rudolf the Viking was off on a voyage, carrying a load of people to the new colony in Greenland. And as they were going across, there was a couple, Lars and Helga, and they were feeling a little bit of course, these old Viking ships, they didn't really have cover. They were just kind of big boats, right? So something started falling from the sky, and they're on a boat, and of course they're bored, and they start to argue. And Lars says, I'm pretty sure that's snow. And Helga says, oh, no, it's rain. And they're arguing back and forth. And finally, Helga says, you know what? Let's ask the captain. He can give us an answer. So they say, hey, Rudolf, is that rain or snow? And Rudolf says, that's definitely rain. It's not snow. Now, of course, Lars begins to argue back with him, and Helga leans up to him and she says, now, Rudolf the Red knows reindeer. That went over so much better in Cleveland. Today we're not remembering red, we're remembering rose, this color on the Advent wreath. Now, rose is a bit of a lighter color than the regular violet you see on the wreath. Today is sometimes called Stirrup Sunday, because if you look at the collect for today, it begins with the word, "Stir up thy power, O Lord." And it was commonly thought this was a good indication that you should get rid of all the excess ingredients for all the stuff that you were making your Christmas goods with. You might throw in a little rum into the cake or whatever you might have, just anything left over, stir it up. Here we have Stir Up Sunday. But it's actually not really known as that. It's actually called Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is the Latin word for rejoice. Now, in a dark time, remember, Advent is a season that everything's getting darker, right? You know, sort of things literally get darker. But it's also a season, if you listen to the readings themselves get darker. A lot more, especially if you listen to the Daily Office or even the Sunday Lectionary. A lot of these readings are sort of about the coming of the Lord and judgment and these sort of very dark themed things, and it's of course amplified by the fact that the days are getting shorter and shorter until about the end of this season. But here we get a little bit of a reprieve from the darkness. And that's kind of the idea, that as we are supposed to be reflecting and spending this season in hopeful preparation, we get a little bit of a glimmer of light, of that thing to come, that light that is to come. And so we have a lighter color, and we're told to rejoice. And Gaudete was the opening acclamation to the Mass under the Latin rite, when you begin with the words rejoice. In fact, comes from this reading we have from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Well, it's kind of an interesting line that St. Paul tells the Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Because, there are always those things, we might say, my back hurts this morning, and it's kind of cold out, and I'm feeling a little sniffly, and all those things that we kind of go throughout the day, right? But here Paul is saying, no, rejoice always. Now that might seem a little bit like a throwaway statement, especially in our time. Remember, again, this is the first century, and Christianity is under some duress. So it's one thing for us to say today, rejoice and all these things, but it's another thing for Paul to have told these people in Thessalonica, hey, even though things are really bad, even though you can't worship freely, rejoice. pray without ceasing. I always love this statement because I always imagine, how do you actually do that? I think Paul is telling these folks in Thessalonica and telling us today to live our life as a prayer. Prayer is not just those words that we recite, although that is a form of prayer. But prayer, at least in the catechism, it says it is a response to God with or without words. Now think about that. Prayer is a response to God with or without words. That means at first, God's done something. This ties back to that rejoice business. God has done something for you. God's done something with you. God's done something around you. And we are called to respond, sometimes through thankfulness, sometimes through just opening that channel in petition, sometimes through just walking mindfully. I feel like mindful gets thrown around a lot these days, but there is something to that. To just living in a sense of gratitude for all that God has done for us. And so Paul then says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now that's got to be a tough message because there are some times it is hard to give thanks. And yet Paul says, remember to give thanks. Don't just throw that away. And maybe that's probably a good practice for all of us to pick up. You know, as things get difficult, start writing down those things that you're thankful for. Maybe if a significant other's getting on your nerves, write down all those things you are thankful for about that person. Maybe if the body's hurting a little bit, give thanks for all those things that are going well. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Now that's a loaded statement, because there's so much written in the New Testament about the Spirit. Even our first reading says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This must have been a bit of a perplexing statement to the first people who heard it. This word Spirit is ruach, which I always think sounds like the dog barking. Ruach. That actually means breath or wind. So you can imagine it's almost like Isaiah is saying, the breath of God is upon me, or the wind is blowing across me. Like you can literally feel the Spirit in these circumstances. But the Spirit is there, that one that drives us, like wind driving a sail. And so when St. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, it's like keep those sails up. Keep yourself open to where God might be taking you, even if maybe it's a little scary. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Remembering again that the prophets talked about justice and mercy. And they talked, and they were still, these words were still relevant to the first century Christians as they are today. And so we're supposed to hold everything against what the prophets have said. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, as we talk about this lead up into the Christmas season, this last week or so, we often talk about things like joy and hope and love and peace, these words that kind of get thrown around. But here, Paul is saying, hold fast to those good things. Rejoice in all things. Give thanks in all circumstances. Hold fast to what is good. And abstain from every form of evil. And he's saying, just put aside all those things, those negative thoughts, the anger, all these other things that we just don't need. And just put it aside and stay on that rejoicing. And then Paul says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. I love this idea of being sanctified. So many times in our Christian culture, we talk about sanctification as sort of this idea of, like, I must never do anything wrong. A few weeks ago, somebody sent me, it was a friend of mine who's a student at General Seminary, had found a posting for a job, not in an Episcopal church, but another church, for a pastor. And the job description was just absolutely wild. And he thought this was the funniest thing, because it was like, who could do this? You know, it was like, he must be sort of perfect, and he must be married to one wife. I mean, I suppose that's always a possibility, but just all these things, and you list down this thing, and you think, I mean, at first you go, okay, that's fine, but after a while you start to go, what in the world, who are they looking for? Because Jesus can't even fit this job description. And so often there's this tradition of sanctifying ourselves, making ourselves holy, and it's misunderstood to mean never do anything wrong. What Paul, I think, is getting here is opening ourselves up. God is the standard for holiness. You notice Paul here says, in your spirit, mind, and body, as if reflecting the Trinity of God. Reflecting the Spirit of God, the body of God that is Christ, and the mind of God that is the Creator, God the Father. Literally, Paul is saying, be as much in the Spirit of God as you can. Not that you can never mess up, because God knows we are broken humans. But that we're supposed to turn towards God. Rejoice in all things, give thanks. And so as we enter the end of this Advent season, on this little reprieve we have from the darkness, let us remember to give thanks and to rejoice. Amen.